Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Tuesday. Hope you're having a great start to your day. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier behind the glass as well. Vanderbilt is the number one overall seed in the NCAA baseball tournament. And we say hello now to the voice of the Vandy boys, Andrew Allegretta, who is with us. Andrew, I know it was a fun weekend down in Hoover. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're fantastic. I'm gonna be honest with you. There was a point in the middle of the season where I was like, okay, definitely feeling better about this team than I did last year, but number one seed was not on my mind. And then all of a sudden, you kind of, the old phrase of got hot at the right time. I think that series against Tennessee really was the turning point when you had the, you know, they lost game one, but then they came back and won the next. Then they swept Kentucky, go in with a ton of momentum into the SEC tournament, and then to run rule your arch rival, your in-state rival. This team just feels like they're clicking on all cylinders right now, and that's going to make them dangerous.
I sure hope so. I do always guard it because it's baseball and because the next day's starting pitcher can change your momentum with a fastball at 98 and the whole thing seems to go poof. But right now, the team has a lot of positive energy. I think one of the things that perhaps gets overlooked about this team right now, Chase, is the fact that they seem to be able to win games in a lot of different ways with a lot of different scores. And that doesn't typically seem like the Vanderbilt of the past couple of seasons. I know everybody talks about the pitching and the defense, but it's a team that had three consecutive walk-off home runs versus Alabama, Kentucky, and then Kentucky again. It's a team that was able to run rule Tennessee with 11 singles and then bounce back and win the championship game versus Ole Miss with two home runs. And they can do it with tremendous fielding, which they got in that championship game. They can do it with perhaps some unheralded pitching stars. So they've got a lot of different cards that they can play right now, which kind of makes them intriguing, you know, in terms of how that translates to this week's regional. I don't know. I really don't. But right now, the way that they've been able to do things in different ways has been encouraging.
Taking away what may happen moving forward, and we all hope it's a trip to Omaha. But when you look at this regular season and then the SEC tournament as a whole, he's never going to admit it, but how satisfying do you think this was for Corbs to put this team back in the position? Because, you know, you heard the chirping out there. Tennessee won it all last year. Do you think that maybe privately he's enjoying this one, you know, as he should?
I think Coach Corbin, and I know you said guarding against what is going to happen. I just know where Coach Corbin's brain is. He's such a coach, right? So I don't know that he's going to allow that to kind of come through at the moment. But I think there is certainly a satisfaction with the way that this group came together, how it happened, the moment in time that it happened. And some of that, of course, is all of the forces in college athletics, and whether that's the team out east or whether that's the way that NIL has changed the landscape, whether that's all of that sort of stuff, right? Like, there was this creeping narrative, which was a little silly, that, you know, the moment in time wasn't for Vanderbilt baseball. This is me speaking as, you know, the black and gold insider. I have never felt like Coach Corbin, from what I have seen in my limited time, was this brutally inflexible coach. I have seen a more malleable coach than people would ever want to give him credit for, right? Like, okay, it's a power hitting team and they can't hit a bunch of home runs. Well, I mean, look at Holcomb and Johnston and Barzy and these guys hitting home runs. Here's one of my favorite stats, Chase, of the past couple of weeks. The narrative is Tennessee hits a bunch of home runs and Vanderbilt hits none. In conference play, coming into the tournament, Tennessee had 45 conference home runs and Vanderbilt had 40. That's more from Tennessee, but that's dangerously close on both sides of it, right? So
sure.
I have always seen a coach that was way more malleable and flexible and able to kind of navigate changing tides than perhaps is out there externally. And that's just my two cents watching it day to day. But I'm sure because of the way that he's needed to navigate and slalom some of these different scenarios, I think there's probably satisfaction there.
So go back. The last baseball game this Vandy team lost was that opening game, that Friday versus the Vols?
It's 8 consecutive wins since Liam Doyle pitched incredibly well.
Yeah, so this team, was there one thing we always go back like, this happened, that happened? Did anything click in Vandy? Or had they just been playing the same baseball all year long? It just happened to come. This streak started against their hated rival, the Vols.
I actually, you know, and I've talked with Coach Corbin about this too, guys, about what's a turning point. And it's hard to know in the moment, and you can kind of only label it once you get past it. I think the game that a lot of us kind of look at right now is Game 3 versus Oklahoma, which is about a month ago. We had lost a couple of weekends. We had lost two in a row versus a team that we thought we could go to Norman and do a little bit of damage against, perhaps, although they've got good players. And then we didn't perform well. And then in game three, a couple of things happened. First off, Braden Holcomb, who's our left fielder, 6'4", power hitter out of Florida, he got back into the lineup, and he started swinging it better. He had a home run in that game. He had an extra base hit. And for him, he felt like he turned a corner in that game. And then the other thing was, that's when Connor Fennell, this kind of, you know, wild man pitcher who's 6'1", weighs 150, 60, 70 pounds, but has the confidence of Hercules, he started game three. And from those points, to me, you saw a team find some pieces that started to connect and to gel. And when that happened, I think they started to really buy into who they were as a team. And it's a team that, you know, cliche as it might be, they definitely all have each other's back. And yeah, there's some of that from the Tennessee game, right? Like Andrew Fisher is very vocal as he goes around the bases. And then, you know, we start to bark back a little bit. We're not going to just sit back and let that stuff sort of happen. So they rallied around each other in a lot of different moments. But, you know, some of that's the Tennessee series. And for us, I think a lot of us point to game three versus Oklahoma a month ago.
Yeah, I think, you know, the job Corbin does, Andrew, with just mentally with his baseball team, and he's done it the whole time he's been here, is fantastic. That's why Friday night when they play, Tim Corbin's going to make their opponent out to be the number one team in America. He'll convince those guys that they're the number one team in America, and that's how they've always played so well. I just love the fascinating game he plays with baseball, unlike anybody else in the college game, and you see the results of what he's done.
I think so, too. I think the other part of it, too, Big Joe, is just this ridiculous commitment to the process versus the outcome, and that's coach speak. That's fine, but he and I have talked in advance of big moments and what it means to talk about, you've got to execute this pitch at this time. And, you know, if you don't execute that, you're going to lose, regardless of the jersey, regardless of the moment, and kind of stripping down the exterior is pretty good. And again, like, I think he's had a different touch with this team. Like, 2025 athletes aren't the same as 2015 athletes. And I think he's managed them accordingly. And when I talk about a malleable and flexible head coach that I've seen, again, personally, that's sort of the stuff that I see just kind of watching from afar. And that's a gift as a coach. That's an absolute gift as a coach to say, you know, I need to change as the moment changes. And I think he is remarkably adept at that.
I remember years ago we interviewed him about getting to the regional. And we're like, hey, you know, you're three wins away, the super regional. He's like, we're also two losses away from our season being over. And I thought it was a very basic way to say, look, we got to go out and play our best baseball game. Nobody's going to feel sorry for us. Nobody's going to root for us to go out and get it done. And so I think the simple approach, Andrew, is the best approach.
I think so, too. And, like, I think we also sit here recognizing, feeling pretty darn good about where we are in this moment in time and the players that we have on our team. But we're also pretty cognizant, like, without three pitches versus Alabama, Kentucky, and Kentucky, we could have a totally different outcome. I mean, that's 16 wins in conference play instead of 19 wins in conference play. And that's a different seat at the tournament. That's a different position in a regional if you get a host, right? That's three pitches. Like, baseball can come down to three pitches. And, you know, game of inches in football, ball bounces off the rim in basketball. I get that it's sport. You know, for the most part, lately things have bounced our way, but, you know, humble yourself and recognize that things could change in millimeters and fractions of a swing in baseball too. So, but again, here's the other thing about us being the number one seed. I think probably I mentioned this on the broadcast, guys, this past weekend. Texas, the fact that they didn't get the number one overall seed is a little bit tricky to wrap your head around, that the conference champion in the regular season of the best conference isn't the number one overall seed. They have not won a game back-to-back since April 27th and 29th. So we're playing very, very well. Our metrics are incredibly well. So some of it is circumstances, right? Like if Texas doesn't kind of stub their toe down the stretch, then we're probably not the number one overall seed too. So you talk about holistic 360 picture. You know, Coach Corbin's good about reminding everybody about that stuff too.
Andrew Allegretta is with us. Real quick, what does it say to see the support from other coaches in the athletic department? I mean, Coach Corbin always talks about his conversations with Coach Lee. I mean, even Coach James Franklin, former coach, now with Penn State, has been very supportive of this program. I think that says a lot about Tim Corbin and the program he's built to see these other coaches from other sports showing their support like they do.
I think it also probably speaks to what Coach Corbin has done over, you know, 20 plus years being at other events. I mean, it's not uncommon to see Coach Corbin on the sideline at a football game, right? Or at other point in times being there for other athletic events. And certainly people know what he does kind of quietly behind closed doors if he's going to go visit the hospital or whatever it happens to be. Nobody's perfect. And I know sometimes we have these conversations and talk about sports figures like they're deities. But Coach Corbin certainly has left an impact that's really, really strong over the course of two decades, which is about him showing up for other people so other people show up for him.
No doubt about that.
I was going to say real quick, you know, people like, well, if he wins it all, this would be, you know, right up to the sunset. And I go back, Andrew, I'll never forget Bobby Bowden and Joe Paterno. People ask him, like, well, if you win the next one, are you done? And they're like, all we know is football. We don't fish. We don't hunt. Football makes us young. I'm telling you, Tim Corbin being around 18, 19, 20-year-olds, he's that same age. I mean, physically and mentally, he feels that same age. I don't see him retiring if he wins one. And why should he?
Well, I will not even come close to dipping my toes into those waters because that's a behind-closed-doors conversation for whenever that's appropriate for Tim and Maggie and the family. But I certainly can articulate, you know, how physically active he is. And what he said at his press conference yesterday was, you know, the joy for him. The two times I have seen him win the SEC tournament championship, Big Joe, he is standing back close toward the dugout, right, and watching the players celebrate. And what he said at the press conference is, like, that's his joy. The moment that he can have to kind of take a mental picture of the kids that he coached and the young men that he has coached finding joy and success, that's where his happiness comes from. So, you know, I'm not saying that's going to translate into X, Y, and Z in the future years, but you know where kind of the soul and the joy of Tim Corbin comes from when it comes to coaching baseball.
Andrew, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy it this weekend at the Hawk, and we will certainly be listening.
Guys, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Andrew Allegretta, the voice of the Vandy Boys, and again, he will have the call as Vanderbilt takes on Wright State, their first game in the regional. Will be Friday, pregame coverage at 4:45, first pitch at 5 o'clock. You can hear it right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Coming up next, one national pundit believes that Cam Ward is going to lead the Tennessee Titans to the playoffs in his rookie year. And I was a little surprised when I heard this. We'll tell you who and what he said. Coming up next, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
There's four people, and only four in my opinion, that will change outcomes. Number one is Cam Ward, Tennessee. They were so hard to watch offensively, where even games they outplayed teams, Tennessee was so bad at quarterback with Will Levis, they lost games where they out-physicaled, out-schemed, and outplayed teams. Cam Ward is accurate, moves, coachable. I mean, Miami's had some good quarterbacks. He broke all the Miami records. There's a history of this league when guys come in without a lot of stars and without a lot of pats on the back. Nobody's pandering to them. That's jet fuel. So I think Cam Ward changes outcomes. I think Tennessee's going to be a playoff team.
That was Colin Cowherd on his show saying that Cam Ward will lead the Titans back to the playoffs in his rookie year. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Here on this Tuesday, I saw that on Twitter yesterday.
Yeah,
and I was like, "I want whatever he's got."
Well, I mean, you look at it.
I love the belief, but
what's there to gain by him saying this? That's why I like it.
Yeah,
what's there to gain?
Because I think he truly believes it.
Yeah, and he's, you know, go back to Josh Allen, come out in 20. Nobody believed it. Come on, when they drafted Josh Allen, no, from Wyoming, no,
right.
No,
nobody thought that. And look, he was terrible his rookie year. I mean, he was his first few years, like, you were kind of going, eh, yeah. This kid's probably hitting it.
But that arm and the way he threw the ball was like, okay. Unlike Josh Rosen, who got drafted by the Cardinals, the arm wasn't there, and the Cardinals panicked and picked a guy because, like, you got to get a quarterback. You got to get a quarterback. Yeah. And they took him. He's out of the league now. And Josh Allen just came in and got to work, and look what he's doing now. I mean, it's amazing.
The thing is, I want Colin to be right. I would love for Colin Cowherd to be right. And if it turns out that he's right, I mean, I will give him credit where credit is due, and I will yell it to the mountaintops, But I gotta see it. I don't believe it yet. I think Cam Ward is talented. Now, I do. I think the backstory on this kid is important. I think he works hard. I think he's humble, but also has a little bit of that confidence as well. And so I think he's capable of doing it. It's just my concern is more, is this coaching staff, is this franchise equipped to give him what he needs to succeed? That's what worries me.
They're still the worst team in football.
Right.
Until they're not.
Right.
So to say that he's going to go.
They get the first waiver claim.
Yeah.
From now until
perpetuity.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Until they're not the worst football team, that's just a lot to put on them. Just, you know, they'll be back on the field, what, Wednesday for OTAs, and just get to work, man. And I think he knows that. I mean, I think the guy knows from Incarnate Word to Washington State to Miami and now here, he's had to fight the entire way. So I'm on board now with them. I still wish they had traded all the draft picks away. That's me, because they needed so much. But now that you got him, ride with him. Yeah. And don't insult our intelligence about saying, well, he's going to be until number one. We know he's number one. This is
I mean, here's my thing, though, and we'll have this discussion until, you know, if they start off 5-0 and he's just on fire, then this discussion will go away. But, you know, yeah, you can sit here and go, they probably should have taken the Giants offer, get all those draft picks, keep building, yada, yada, yada. They didn't. And in some ways, you should be happy about that because they were definitive that this was our guy. I mean, they said they had decided a month or so before the draft, we're going to take Cam Ward number one overall.
Right.
He is our guy. We're not listening to calls. We're not, you know, we are all on board that this is our guy. And with all the stuff that this organization has gone through in the last 3 or 4 years, you should be happy about that. You should be happy that they got in a room.
Yeah.
They made a decision. They stuck with the decision. They're all on the same page on the decision, and they did it.
But to say the playoff.
That's a stretch. I mean, look, it's a stretch. And I respect Colin Cowherd. I think he's very good at what he does. And I love that a national pundit has actually said something positive about the Tennessee Titans. But, you know, I have a hard time – sitting here believing that that's going to happen, more so because of the surroundings and not necessarily the player.
Well, if I'm Callahan, I'm telling the guys, we're going to make the playoffs. I mean, you've got to be positive from day one. You can't look at this like we're 3-14 and God, we're terrible. Hey, man, new team, new energy, new players, do everything that goes on. Be positive about this and let's go out and do this and not playing those stupid games where you get points in training camp. Good God. Just go out there and look, work hard. We have to do
it's
this.
It's not training camp. It's OTA.
Whatever it is.
They can't be on the practice field.
So. Whatever it is. You know what I'm talking about. Go out there and just work hard, man, and go for it. It's the tried and true formula to do that, and then they've got to get it done. Now they get quarterback. You got belief. You got coaches that you believe in. It's all there. Now, if you don't get it done, it's your fault now.
Here's the issue, though. When you take Cam Ward out of it and you look at the players around him, name me the playoff caliber type players that are on this roster. Legarius needs one of them because he's done it. I would say that Jeffrey Simmons is one of them because he's done it. He's made the playoffs.
Tony Pollard to me is a hell of a
Tony Pollard is one of them because he's done it. But other than that, I mean, there's not a lot. That Kevin Zeitler, I mean, okay. he's got that resume.
Well, same. Give me the Bills team of 18-19 when Allen took over. They were not very good. I mean, they won 6-7 games, but they were not where they are now. Now the Bills got to get to another level. So do the Ravens now with Lamar, and they got their own problems to worry about. But they built around them, and so you build around Cam now. I really like Restrepo, the slot guy from Miami. That's his buddy. I get that, and I still don't have the
I don't have an issue with it.
Why he was not drafted? I get that. Yeah. But the tight end out of Texas, that's something.
Love that pick.
Build people around him and go out and get it done. That Denver game is so paramount to everything this franchise wants to do. Go back. They beat the Bears last year. It's a totally different situation. They're not picking number one. They're not picking Cam Ward.
So here, I got a question for you. If one of these, we'll make this kind of a what if. If one of these things happened in Denver, what could have the better outcome? And the question is, let's say they go into Denver and they win, 28-7, he throws 4 touchdowns, no picks, basically has a Mariota type debut. Is that a good thing or is that a false hope and a bad thing?
What do you think?
Or if they go in there and they're competitive, but he makes a couple of rookie mistakes, they end up losing the game, but they were in it. Like, hey, the better team won.
Right.
But they went out there and they definitely had some good things to build on. Like, everybody's going to be sad that they lost, but they'll find that positive. You obviously want to win the game. But, yeah. What probably has a better long-term outcome?
Winning the game. You have to. I mean, you got to win. I don't care how damn good you play. You go play great, go win 17. Winning the game. Winning spawns so much off of that.
I agree. But what I'm worried about it, if they get blown out or they blow Denver out, there's going to be such an overreaction no matter what.
Good.
I mean, that's what's going to – there's going to be an overreaction from either way that's going to happen.
Fine.
So,
Giant, get that first win, man. Get that first win.
I agree. I'll take it any way you can
get it. Right.
I can get it. 615-737-1025. Do you agree with Colin Cowherd? He thinks that Cam Ward's going to lead the Titans back to the playoffs in his rookie year. We'll discuss that and much more coming up next. Also, the PFL World Championship semifinals are Thursday, June 12th at Municipal Auditorium, and you can be there. Text in the keyword MATCH, M-A-T-C-H, to 615-737-NOW, 737-1025. Now, to be entered to win a pair of VIP ringside tickets, visit pflmma.com/schedule for more details. Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel and broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership. With a buzz is always about great service. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier behind the glass. A few texts to get to, including our question of the day, Joe, which is?
Who do you think is the most influential person in football? We're going football blanket, college pro, the most influential person in football. I said when it comes to players and coaches, John Gruden's at the top. Chaser says Greg Sankey. All good answers. We want to know who you think is the most influential person in football.
Today it might be the company EA Sports because they have released the cover of College Football 26.
And not that's a bad got
people
one.
Very, very excited to see everybody on that cover. By the way, for the wrestling, I just saw this on Twitter. Sorry, this is squirrel moment. 29 years ago today for the wrestling fans, Scott Hall made his debut in WCW and cut the famous, "You know who I am, but what you don't know is why I am here" promo. Hard to believe it's 29 years ago. The late, great Scott Hall. But I say Greg Sankey. You said John Gruden. Pretty interesting. Also, 100 days, speaking of football, until the start of the 2025 NFL season.
Might be less than that now. Might be like 98. So no, 95.
No, NFL season.
Oh, NFL.
National God. Football League.
I should pay attention more to the
you
show.
You should. That's okay. I love that. A couple texters on our text line driven by Wilson County Hyundai. NFL.com. Patrick, man, what a loaded question on the most influential in football. On the field with the players and coaches, it has to be Tom Brady, and even though he has lost his mind, what do you think about Bill Belichick? Great show as always.
Brady's a good one. I mean, think about that. I mean, to what effect? I think NFL, yeah, and I think he gives great talks.
I think Brady might be having more of an influence behind the scenes that we even know.
Well, was it now that he influenced the draft choice of the North Dakota State quarterback?
Yeah, maybe. Like,
reminds me of me and all that. Belichick, man. Oh, well, that's a tough one. Gosh, I mean, he is. I don't think he's influential. I think coaching, he's a influential means you got to make things happen and people emulate you. And I'm not sure they ever emulated him. I don't know. That's a good one.
No, because that's a really good one, because when you find a diamond, like a true diamond in the rough at pick, what was it, 199?
Something like that, yeah.
In the sixth round with Brady, you would have thought that teams would have tried to do that. They would have reached. Right. And I don't feel like they did. Like, I don't feel like the scouting really changed. I mean, there's always reaches in the draft. You know, just look at the Titans. But I mean, I don't feel like that people are like, here we go. I don't think the 49ers, when they took Brock Purdy as Mr. Irrelevant, said, yep, this is going to be our starting quarterback for the next 10 years. We're going to pay him a crap ton of money, and he's going to take us to the Super Bowl.
Right. They didn't
think that. They were just like, hey, we like the tape on him. This is where we had him graded. We're going to take him.
No, I think it went sort of like that, but I think it was like, it's a last pick. What the hell?
Yeah.
It's, you know,
because here's the truth. Here is the truth that nobody, I think, really recognizes and wants to hear on both of those guys. The reason – now, Tom Brady, I take nothing away from his career, what he did on the field – but the fact that he got a shot to do it was pure luck.
Yeah.
In circumstance.
That's his speech. It's like, are you ready for the opportunity?
Right. You have to be ready. And he was, yep. To his credit. He did the work to put himself in a position to potentially have an opportunity. But if Drew Bledsoe never gets hurt, we may never hear from Tom Brady.
You're 100% correct.
Like, I mean, and with Brock Purdy, if... it was Lance and who was the other one? Jimmy G.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, if they don't get hurt and have to go to the third string guy, we may not know who Brock Purdy is.
That's right.
Man, it's just – that's how it is sometimes.
Are you ready when your number's called? Bottom line.
Bingo. On our Cam Ward discussion with Colin Cowherd, Pat and Franklin said, I feel the desire to see Cam Ward do well. But Colin Cowherd is clickbait central. Whatever the rest of the sports world says, he's the opposite. Entertaining, but do you really put stock in it? I think that's a fair point.
My thing is, what's he to gain from this?
Yeah, I mean,
nobody talks about the Titans outside of Nashville. Nobody does.
People might talk about the Titans a little bit more because he said that.
Yeah, that's right. It's not, I mean, an easier pick would be like, Cowboys going to get it this year, make playoffs. I mean, that's something like that. But to go out and put all your cards on the Titans, I would have never done that. That's still the worst team in football.
On the influential, this is a really good one. Matthew in Nashville says John Madden got generations of kids into football with the Madden games.
That's solid, man. There are different tentacles with this that go on. That's one of them. My thing with Gruden is about still influencing in football and players talking about him on that. And then Sankey about where's football going to go? People are following his lead to do that. But Madden, I mean, you're right. That's the movie. They're making a movie about John Madden. They're not making a movie about John Madden's life. They're making a movie about Madden in the video game. That's how important it is.
Al says, Roger told me the most influential person in football is Taylor Swift.
There are probably some in the NFL office who would agree with you on that.
Maybe. I mean, you talk about bringing in new audiences. She certainly helped that.
Yep. Exactly right, man.
And, I mean, the NFL was the last league that really needed help in that department, but she did. Thank you. There are people, you know, mainly women that are watching football that never gave two craps about football, but because of her relationship with Travis Kelce, they're watching. And that's great.
Yep. Oh, absolutely it is.
Like, I know people that are now diehard football fans because of that.
Somebody sent a list here from 2020 and said the top 25 most influential people in the game of NFL. Number one at the top.
2020?
Overall in the history of the NFL.
Oh, overall.
Vince Lombardi.
From an football standpoint, I'd say that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, he certainly changed the game. So give me the whole list. I'm curious of this.
Three is Al Davis.
Okay.
Four is Paul Brown.
Who is two?
George Halas.
Okay.
Four is Paul Brown. Five is Jerry Rice.
Okay.
Okay, this is Bleacher Report. Bill Walsh at six, who I agree was very influential.
I mean, the West Coast offense, and that kind of what?
Brett Favre at seven.
I don't know if I'd have him at seven, but I mean, he could certainly be on there because he's a different kind of quarterback that made it work.
Jim Brown at eight.
Yep.
Paul Tagliabue at nine.
Okay.
Number 10, Joe Namath, who I think is number one.
Joe Willie.
It's funny. Number 25, the top 25, Junior Seau.
I would say yes because of concussions.
Correct.
Yep. And what it – I mean, because that was kind of the – for lack of better – I don't want to use that analogy. But like
– No, you're right. You have to be open
really,
about it. Yeah.
But what I was going to say, when it kind of hit us in the face – And I don't mean it the way it might come out, but I mean that's when it really was like, oh, this is a problem.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and I think when we don't talk about it and we don't like, well, you know what happened, you know, we kind of whisper, you know what happened. No, we need to talk about that. That needs to be talked about because there might be others out there that are going through the same thing that need to talk, and hopefully they will do that. But to me, Joe Namath, I told you my affinity for Joe Namath. I mean, that there's never been a more, I think, influential guy in the history of football, and he's the one with the split between the AFL and the NFL and what he did coming in, how he kind of reshaped football and draft picks and all that.
Guarantee.
Great, man.
Yep. And then Susie Culber.
I just want to kiss you.
That is an all-time moment for sure. Coming up next, we will tell you what day it is and celebrity birthdays. It's Chase and Big Joe here on a Tuesday. Nashville's best deal of the week, 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. We love 312 Pizza. They serve the best pizza in town as well as Chicago-style eats like Chicago dogs, Italian beef sandwiches, and more. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals to get half off a $30 gift card to 312 Pizza Company while supplies last.
That's when I'm going to go home and give me some Budweiser. That's $1 million in my pocket, man. Papa John, get your ass over here, man. Let me give you a hug, man. That's another $1 million for me.
Big Joe Peyton Manning earlier.
Sorry about that.
On the show. Do you think he would like your impression or get offended by it?
I think he'd get offended by it. Probably. I think, as you know, he's very soft-skinned.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that. I just know that from what you've told me.
Right.
I've never met him. I've never talked to him.
Never again.
So there you go. With that, let's get to our favorite segment, What Day Is It? And Celebrity Birthdays. It is brought to you by Jarrett Companies, Inc. Use their electrical division for installations, inspections, upgrades, and more. JarrettCompaniesInc.com, above and beyond industry standards. Dr. Crane. The floor is yours.
All right, gentlemen. Short list today, but first one we have is cellophane tape day. So, not sure.
Is it like a cell phone?
It looks like scotch tape. Probably the proper name for it.
Is it clear?
Yeah, a little murky. Yeah. Let's see. National Grape Popsicle Day. Those are delicious.
Love it.
As a child, you know, when you had those little crayon popsicles, you ever get those? The little, they had layers on them?
We couldn't afford them.
I know what you're talking about.
Thank you.
I had those.
National Gray Day. It looks like it involves the brain in some capacity. Nothing to Fear Day is today. And to wrap up the last two, we have Old Time Player Piano Day and Sunscreen Protection Day. So
that's important.
Yeah.
Get your sunscreen. Summertime.
Old time player, like a little ragtop and a little barbershop outfit hat on.
Yeah.
I could totally see you being like a piano player in the 1880s or something like that.
You know, if I wasn't in radio, I would probably be, I wouldn't say cutting hair, but my mom's a third generation hairdresser. And my great uncle John was a barber, so yeah. This would have been the fourth generation. Yeah,
nice. So you don't think? See, I could see you in like the saloon. You're just like, oh, old Nicky back there, just playing the piano. And then if trouble breaks out, you got the shotgun under the piano, and you're like, hey boys, none of that now.
And spit in a dip can. Yeah.
Yep.
You got the barbecide.
You had the mustache. You had the mustache.
Well, you've done a good job cutting David Jane's hair, so I think you would do.
It's just a zero, and you buzz it all the way back.
I mean, come on, right? Perfection. All right, time for celebrity birthdays.
By the way, before you do that, real quick, we talked about the college football 26. You are correct. That is Reggie Bush. Kudos to them for giving Reggie his flowers to put him on that.
I love
there.
It, man. Good for him.
That was good.
All right, we have a bunch of birthdays. I think the record might get broken there. Record's around 12. I think record might get broken there. If not, I need new contestants. Our first birthday in celebrity birthdays, Toby from West Wing, Richard Schiff. How old is he?
72.
73.
70. Already on the board, Chaser. Well done. Next is the actor Paul Bettany. He was the bad guy in The Da Vinci Code. He was also in was he the bad guy in Man of Steel, Superman 2013? Yeah. Think so.
So Lex?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, I think I know who you're talking about. 43.
45. 54. Yeah. Jack McBrayer, he's on the show 30 Rock, the very fun Southern guy.
Yeah.
He was like a page. He was also in Wreck-It Ralph, the voice.
45.
42. Andre 3000, the rapper.
From Outkast.
With Hutton and Withrow?
It's Outkick.
Oh, Outkick, my bad.
51.
56.
He's 50. Chaser's up 2 nada. Tell you, man, I feel good about today. I'll go down here. She was on Barnaby Jones, actress Lee Merriweather.
Barnaby Jones.
It's a series back in the day with Buddy Ebsen.
73. 77. 90.
Chase's favorite singer Bruce Cockburn.
75.
Music notes were flaming. We're going to go 82.
He's 80. Good job, Dr. Crane. 2-1. Susie of Susie and the Banshees. The lead singer, Susie Sue.
77.
82.
68. Lead singer of Crowded House, Neil Finn, who took over for Lindsey Buckingham and Fleetwood Mac.
I didn't know that. 68.
65.
67. Chase up 3-1. Actress Perry Gilpin from Frasier.
What character?
Was she the one with the British accent?
Oh, Daphne?
Was that the one? I think so, or maybe not. Or the other girl, his producer.
That was Roz.
So it's one of those two. I think Daphne. I think it is.
Okay. I'm going to say 57.
67.
64. Comedian Adam Carolla.
58.
53.
61. Not to be confused with Toyota Corolla. From Different Strokes, Todd Bridges.
64.
65.
60. Rapper Jadakiss.
Yeah, I think it's 48.
42.
50. Chase up 4-1. TV chef Jamie Oliver.
47.
53.
50. All right. NFL now. Sports. Jackie Slater, one of the greatest linemen of all time.
Slater is 71.
65.
71 exactly. Chase up 6-1. One of the NFL kickers, Nick Lowry.
Is he still kicking?
I hope not at this age.
Oh.
If he is.
74.
69
exactly. Nice. Yeah, 6-3. Chasers up. Pat Cash, Australian tennis player, legend back in the 80s and 90s. Pat Cash.
63.
69.
60. Frank Thomas, the Big Hurt.
53.
57.
57 exactly. Wow. It's now 6-5. Jeff Bagwell.
58.
55.
57. Chase up 7-5. Todd Hundley. Not the Chick-fil-A owner in Rivergate, but Todd Hundley, the baseball catcher.
47.
49.
56. Antonio Freeman, former Packer wide receiver.
54.
52.
53, that's a push. Vontae Davis, we got two left.
48.
47.
37. All right, it's 7-5. Dr. Crane, you can tie our last birthday. Heisman Trophy winning quarterback for the University of Florida, Danny Werfel.
Ooh. 57.
53.
He's 51 at the buzzer. Chase gets it 7-6.
All right, there you go. Well, guys, good competition, Dr. Crane. Good game.
You guys do well. I like this.
That is going to do it for us today.
Hey, as our message on every show, we leave you guys to our guys out there. If you are struggling, know that we love you. If you're going through something, please talk to somebody. We beg you. We implore you. We pray that you will. On your cell phone, you can call or text 988. Somebody's always there. We really appreciate all the men who've reached out to us. Know that we love you. We care about you. We pray for you every single day. Your journey is a tough one. Sometimes it's a beautiful one, but it's still your journey. If something happened to you, you'd be tremendously missed. To let you know that we tremendously love you. Not just us, but more important, more than anything else in the world, God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. DVD coming up next here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.